Every week I tell you, you got to keep listening to More Faith, More Life. But this time I really, really mean it, because I'm going to tell you a secret translation that everybody should know, but nobody does know. And it's life-changing.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more, more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. You do not want to miss this one. I like to bring you these things about parables and teachings of Jesus, which we did last week. We're going to be doing them in the weeks to come. But what I'm bringing you is things that you have never, probably, most likely, never heard before, never been taught before, even though you've been taught the parables. You think you know the parables, but I'm going to bring you the truth of these through history, through in not chronological order, but theology. History, and put this all together What did first century Jewish people think when they heard some of these stories and parables. So today we're going to hit a really, really good one that I would say 99% of everybody I've ever met that ever went to church has no idea about this.
Well, you know, Steve, before we started today, we were discussing this, and I realized I'm not sure I've ever really caught the depth of this and, you know, the meaning of it. So I'm glad we're doing this.
It is really deep and life-changing.
It is.
And it's in one of my books. I don't know which book I put it in, whether the When the Kingdom Comes, maybe I wrote it, because nobody knew about it. And when I go and teach it, even in when I tried to express it in seminary classes like that, they just... Okay, so let's get what it is. Okay. All right, so what am I talking about?
Okay, well, this is in the context of Jesus and the Lord's Prayer, and then it flows on into the part I need explanation on, but it's in Matthew 11, and Jesus talks about and says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, and goes through the Lord's Prayer. Then after that, he said, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And then suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. What is this?
Yes, because obviously this is in the context of prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And the way Luke framed it up, he said, and lead us not into temptation. Then he says, then Jesus said, after that, suppose one of you has a friend that comes in and needs bread, and you don't have any. What do you do? Okay, back up now. We live in their culture. That was the honorable thing to do. It was a disgrace to have somebody come to town, have no bread. They come to you. You have no bread. So this is a disgrace. This is a panic moment. To us, we'd say, get lost. But this is the Jewish culture. So now it's the panic moment. So what do? I've got to go to my friend. So I go to my friend and say, friend, give me some bread. I have a friend, and I have nothing to give them. Okay, so is this in context of prayer? Because see, it's the Lord's Prayer was first. Now he goes, and now you have a need. You need bread. So you're going to go to your friend and ask for bread. And so in the context of prayer, he goes and asking for bread, and he just got a no. In context of prayer, then that would be God who has all the bread. And this, I have no bread, but God has all the bread. Now I'm going to go ask God, my friend, Jesus, if we want to say it, for bread. And the answer is no. All right? So there you go. That stops right there, except it goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is the, and this is New International Version. Let's see how close they got to the truth.
So the one inside says, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked. And my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything."
Okay.
And so then he says, verse 8. Yeah. "I tell you," Jesus said, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship."
Okay, stop right there. Jesus said he will not get up. I mean, if we're gonna make God and Jesus and the kingdom of God the bread giver,
right?
Because we just read a minute ago, "Give us this day our daily bread."
Bread
came from God. So if we're gonna make God this, God just said in that, "No, I'm not gonna do it in this circumstance," and we don't know why. And so they got to know. And then he says, "And he's not gonna give it to him because he's a friend." And so we say to you, okay, Kathy, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? You do? Oh, Jesus is your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But that doesn't get me any bread. I still don't get any bread because he doesn't get up because of my friendship. I need a friendship.
Right.
And what a friend we have in Jesus.
Right.
But that is not the supply of bread. What's next?
Okay. "I tell you, even though I'll not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he'll surely get up and give you as much as you need." And that's the NIV stating it like that, shameless.
You remember, King James even made it harder, used the word importunity.
Importunity.
Which I've never used in a sentence in my whole life.
No.
So I read it, "Because of his importunity." Well, I wonder if I have any of that.
What in the world?
Yeah. Okay. So they so now they have to translate it from the original Greek, and they translated it in this one is shameless. What
Shameless audacity.
Is there any references later in that?
Well, you know what it says, and this is not right either.
Yeah, I know. So I'm sure that's why I want you to say it.
Or yet to preserve his good name.
I get it. Okay, well, I get what, if you listen, though, I get what they're trying to say. Okay. It's right in some ways. It's just nobody's going to understand. They're going to make that personally for him. Okay, let's back up now to culture. Nobody understands this. Everybody gets it wrong. So
if you interpret it the other way, it sounds like the homeowner, the guy inside with the bread, to preserve his good name. But then the first translation is because of you, guy knocking on the door.
To save his reputation.
Yeah, to save your shameless audacity, or is it to preserve the name?
Right. All right. Okay. Because people don't know the culture, it's been translated wrong for hundreds of years. So what we walk away with, and it's almost preached 100% like this, so what the guy did is, the guy's got to know, "I'm not going to get up and give you any bread." But because he kept pounding on the door, importunity means keep it up, right?
Yeah.
His importunity. Or in this case, he didn't care what anybody thought, which is totally opposite of what the reference at the bottom said, in order to save his reputation.
Yeah.
But so I've heard it preached this way. He didn't care what anybody thought. He just kept pounding and asking and asking, and he's not going to give up. And so finally then, because of his shameless
audacity,
pounding, the man gets up and gives him as much as he wants. That's what's preached.
Right.
That's not true.
Okay, help me.
That's not what happened.
Help me understand this.
Okay. So let's go back to the culture. The culture is, if a man comes to town, a traveler, and he's Jewish, he has to be Jewish in this case, and he comes to the community, and they're a tight-knit community, because remember, the guy's going to go get bread from his friend. Well, it's like he lives next door or something, right? Nearby. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go on a journey to go get bread. So this guy's an outsider, out of town, or out maybe just from a camp nearby. But anyway, he doesn't have any bread, and it's at midnight. He's hungry, midnight, he just arrived, and we got to take care of him. That's the first culture. We have to take care of Jewish visitors coming. We take care of each other.
Okay. Cultural.
So that's why this guy, it's important enough for him. It's midnight for him, too.
Exactly.
It's not just midnight for the other guy. It's midnight for the guy who has no bread.
Yeah.
But he goes ahead and gets up. He's not saying, "No, get away. It's midnight." Okay. So he gets up and does it. And there's a reason. There's a motivation here. Okay. So then he goes to his friend and says, "Give me bread." And the first answer is no. So we have to understand what's going to turn this that he gets a yes. Well, we think it's, like I said, just shamelessly pounding and embarrassing himself, right?
Yeah.
With audacity that he would keep up pounding at midnight and keeping that guy up. So the guy finally gets up and gets, oh, right, here's some bread. Not what happened at all. Okay, so it's a culture thing. Now, when we started the Lord's Prayer, what's the first line? Our Father in heaven.
Say, Father.
In heaven, hallowed.
Be your name.
To be honored. Be praised, to be honored, okay? So we just entered into a different culture. We've entered into a honor culture where we honor God and we remove shame, okay? Now, the reason our prayers are so important, our praise is so important, is we have to go back to understand this culture. We have to go back to the roots of God, who Lucifer was in heaven. He was the third archangel, over a third of the angels. And he rebels. He gets prideful. He wants to be either sit on God's throne or the throne that belonged to Jesus later. We don't know. But he said, I'll be the high one. I'm going to sit on the throne. And because of his pride and his ego, he led a rebellion. God kicked him out, but he did not leave without rebellion, leading a rebellion. He was rebellious, but he led a rebellion. And one third, we don't know how many that is, that's a lot, of the angels believed him and went with him. Now, in heaven, there's two-thirds, but one-third's gone. One-third of the choir, one-third of the praise, one-third of the honor is gone. Okay, it's gone. Do you think that's noticeable? So everybody says, it doesn't matter, we got two-thirds left, God, get over it. Come on, God, just get over it, doesn't matter. No, it was a big, big, blunt blow to the kingdom of God that a rebellion could happen in heaven. Seeing and all that he saw and all that the angels were and were instructed, and they would be willing to leave heaven and follow Lucifer and go to the earth. Now, Lucifer is no longer called Lucifer. Now he's Satan, the devil, all right? Yeah. The opposer of God. But where is he? He's on the earth.
Right.
Where are we? We're on the earth. Why did God put us here on the earth? Big mistake. Why? Risk me. Why not just, I asked somebody once and said, what is this all about? Well, God, God just wanted to populate heaven. God is lonely in heaven. So the point is you live here and you die and you go to heaven. And I go like, okay, but what do I do while I'm here? And we don't realize why. Well, why not just put me in heaven with one of those six-eyed creatures or something? Give me six eyes and put me in heaven. I don't want to even risk going to hell, because if you're here, there's a risk you could go to hell, right?
Yeah.
I don't want that risk. Just give me some wings and let me live in heaven, right?
Yeah.
But instead, he purposely placed humanity, the humans made in his image, right here in the devil's territory on purpose to do something, because he wanted to create here on earth what was the insult up there, the honor that was lost. I'm going to create an honorable culture here right in the face of the devil. Well, it didn't work. Adam and Eve sinned and fell too. But now, through Jesus, Jesus was honorable, and he did the honorable thing. He always did what was right, and he didn't do his will. And so now we have an honor culture. And so the Jews, way back even before that, were raised in an honor and shame culture.
Yeah.
So we want to honor God. And when we do that, we remove the shame of what happened in heaven and all the other shame that happens around us because of fallen mankind. We're going to be the people of God, and we're going to honor him and restore God's honor, because that's what God's people do. And that's the special covenant we have with him. He loves us. He takes care of us. And we're going to restore his honor and give him honor. Okay? All right. So now we're back to this guy and the bread thing. Well, it got down into their culture that that's the way they're going to live now. So the guy that got up out of bed, or the guy that got pounded on the first time and said, give me bread. And he said, I don't have any bread, but I will go. I'll leave my house and go to another guy's house, and I'll get you some bread. Mm-hmm. Well, he did that because it would have brought shame on his house.
Okay.
And it would have brought shame on the community, too, right in there, because they didn't do what the honorable society teaches you to do. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this in their culture. Everybody knows it. And if you don't do it, then it's a shame, you know. And that guy will leave without bread, and he'll say, don't go into that town, or that guy in that house, you know, he's a jerk or whatever. Okay, so now we want to keep this in the context of prayer, though, right? Because it is in the context of prayer.
Yeah.
So if we put it in the context of prayer, you want something, you need bread or whatever, give us the daily bread. But anyway, you go to the guy who has, and that's God. God's the has guy. He has it, right? Whatever you need. So you're going to go to him, and it's an odd hour, only means it's only showing you how people think. So the odd hour midnight doesn't matter as much, except that's what people would normally do. Normally they'd say, forget it. It's midnight. I'm already in bed. Go away. All right. And that's what he did. So he did a little bit of that shame on it thing that he could have. And so the translation then, yeah. But because of his shameless audacity or embarrassing himself, he kept pounding and pounding till a guy finally gets out of bed. That's not what it says.
Mm-mm.
The exact way back translation, the real thing, mm-hmm. It says this. He says, no, I'm already in bed. Go away. Right. But it doesn't, look at this again. Does it say the guy pounded and he, you know, knocked on the door?
Yeah.
He asked him for bread.
Yeah.
And the answer was what?
Don't bother me.
Does the guy say anything after that? Like, oh, come on, man.
No, it doesn't say.
All he heard was what?
Don't bother me. The door's locked.
It doesn't say he shamelessly pounded.
No.
He kept yelling. He's out of the picture. The character now switches to the guy inside who has bread. He's the one of action now, not the guy outside. The guy outside standing like, I just got to know. Okay?
Okay.
So he says, nope, I'm not going to give you any. It's midnight, locked up. It's inconvenient. But wait a minute. The translation says, but in order to prevent shame, he'll get up and get him as much. Give him as much as he wants. The action switched to the guy inside.
Wait a minute.
The guy outside does nothing. But the preaching has been what? And the translation sounds like, yes, it sounds like the guy outside just kept at it, and we hear nothing from the guy inside. He just finally got up and said, oh, let's go give the slob some bread. You know, the guy keeps bugging me. He keeps bugging me. So we're going to just bug God. And we don't understand. You don't have to bug God. All right, that's not what it is. Yes, he got a no, but Jesus is trying to teach us, you've got to turn this around and get the system working. And it's a system of
honor.
Restoring honor. So if this guy doesn't give him any bread, he's thinking like, it's midnight, I'm in bed. Go away, it's too late. And then he rethinks it. Not the guy outside.
The house with the bread,
he rethinks it. And thinks, you know what, though? I don't want shame to come. So in order to get rid of the shame, in order to not be any shame, I'm going to get up because I don't want to bring shame on the community. Now, in that respect, that way of thinking turns into human thinking again.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, God's got all the bread.
Yeah.
But it turns into a human, the human character's in bed. Well, God's not in bed, right? So so it's a human character, but it represents God because he's got the bread. So how do I get the bread? Well, now we put it back to tell us, how are we praying? How do we pray?
Yes.
How do we express ourselves?
Right.
And so the trigger goes off inside of us, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I need bread. It seems like God is saying no to me. Well, how am I going to get him to get up and give me bread? In order to remove shame, get up, work on removing the shame, honor God, hallowed be thy name. He's got the bread. Give me this daily bread.
Yes.
But it starts off with thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Right.
All these great things before we even get to the bread. In that prayer, shame is removed.
Yes.
Honored to be praised, to be honored and praised is your name, O God. Your kingdom, let it come. Not my kingdom, not my will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have a friend. I have a friend who needs bread.
Oh.
I need bread. My kids need bread. Whatever.
Yeah.
I need something. And because I have removed shame, he will get up and give me as much as I need. It was the removal of the shame. So you have to go back to the original translation in order to prevent shame.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it would have been shame on the guy, the first guy. It's shame on the guy who has bread, which we're not going to bring shame on God, obviously. Right. Yeah. It represents prayer, but okay. it would have brought in the natural right. now, back to the natural. These are all real people
real
in town.
People.
There's a hungry guy. There's a guy over here that left his house, and there's a guy that's got plenty of bread. There's three characters here.
Okay.
And so one of them, if he has to walk away without bread, it would bring shame on the community that they did not treat the Jew, the visiting Jew, the way their culture is brought up to do it. And I'm sure it happened. I'm sure people didn't give, you know, they did say no. But that's the key to understanding, especially difficult prayers that seem difficult. You're in a difficult situation. Don't know how to pray. Don't know how to approach God. All you know to do is cry and scream. And so then you went and heard the sermon. Well, the guy on the outside, when he heard no, he shamelessly, what? He didn't do a thing.
Oh,
he did nothing.
Word. Yeah.
He did nothing else but stand there. And the trigger was that this is an honor society. So learn to honor God, and that's what triggers the release of God's generosity. And it wasn't because of friendship. It was in order to remove shame or to prevent shame on this community that the traveling person, the visitor with no bread, would bring. He's going to spread the word.
Yeah.
And in order to remove and prevent shame, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. Wow.
Wow.
People listening today, I try to express without sounding arrogant that I have years of jewels like this that are helping us understand the Bible better and realizing how wrong theologically our preaching has been through the years, and popping out and talking about this bread has and nothing to do with the Lord's Prayer, you know, in context of culture and people and places. Isn't the Bible so much more interesting now that you know that story and you know that
yes,
culture?
Yes.
That culture still remains in God's kingdom. Yeah. It's an honor shame culture, and we approach prayer by need and friendship. But this parable, this story tells us that's not what gets the bread. We have friendship and we do have needs.
Yes.
But that's not how to get the bread. Learning how to restore and living in an honorable life before the Lord with honorable speech and an honorable relationship, not a friendship. An honorable relationship is more powerful than a friendship. And that's what that story is about. I hope our friends will get this. Tell your friends about it. And at least you don't want to miss out. Next week, we're going to hit another parable. And they're all exciting like this, where you will have jewels. And another exciting part about it, if you attend a Bible study, go and tell them, I'm going to talk about the guy at midnight needing bread and surprise them, because you'll be telling them stuff. And by the way, if you're a real studier, you can go back to the cut through the Greek,
yeah.
You'll get past that. And it will say
right.
The original language was in order to prevent shame on the whole community. So you got some jewels to take to other people and help other people. So I hope that helps you. Go to SteveGrayMinistries.com and tell people about the podcast. You can get the book Mighty Like Gideon. Oh, they can see it there. And If You Only Knew, and other books, When the Kingdom Comes. And all kinds of jewels are in this book, just like this one, in Mighty Like Gideon. So don't miss it. Till next time. Bye-bye.